You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
There was a real good friend of mine that been many years ago, I don't know, maybe 7 years ago, something like that, that introduced me to the Rec Room. And some of you may know him or have heard of him or have known Joe Bell. Joe Bell was a vital part of the Clover Houses here in Odessa, getting them established and started. And Joe was a good friend of mine. And he introduced me to the Rec Room. And Leland hadn't been able to run me off since. So Joe's gone on to be with the Lord. Okay. Amen. A few years ago. But he was more than just a friend to me. He was a parishioner at my church for many years, him and his wife Donna, and he was also my neighbor. He lived right across the alley from me. And this song here I'm going to sing with One Day at a Time. I know Joe's smiling down on the Rec Room right now because he was here when we started with 7. I think we had 7 the first Rec Room, he said, okay. And so I know Joe's smiling down on us when he sees the Rec Room every Thursday night. So I sing this song to Joe one day at a time.
I'm only human. I'm just a man. Lord, help me to be what you want me to be. And all that I can, show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all that I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I need to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help today, show me the way, one day at a time. Lord, you remember when you walked among men. And Jesus, you know, as you're looking below, that it's hard now as then. Pushing and shoving, crowding my mind. So Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all. What I had to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at
That one's for you, Joe.
Thank you all.
Many of you are familiar with Joe. I used to love his expression when somebody would talk to him about hypocrites. He'd say, well, they've got to have some place to go. I always liked it. I want to talk to you tonight just a little bit about forgiveness of sins and sin. In our classes that we do each week, every now and when we touch on some of these things, and we get a lot of questions about them. We have discussions about them because there seems to be quite a bit of confusion. We get sins mixed up with sin, and we get forgiveness maybe going one direction and then another direction. And we live in kind of a confused world anyway. Did you ever wonder why they that we drive on a parkway and park in a driveway? Did you ever wonder why the word abbreviation is so long? Our phonics is not spelt like it sounds. I mean, there's a lot of confusion about other things than just forgiveness and sins, but we're going to just deal with that tonight and talk about some of those things. Let me tell you why there's a lot of confusion sometimes about the Bible, or in my case, why I've been confused some, is because I quit studying before God quit teaching. I would read something and think I had the answer without reading everything. That's like being able to add single-digit numbers and think you know calculus. See? It doesn't work. We need to keep studying. God will keep teaching. I don't know anybody that's ever gone to the bottom of this book. I don't know anybody that ever touched bottom. There's always something to learn. It surprises me. I read things and think, and I read through my Bible a multitude of times. Well, I don't know what is a multitude. Let me put it this way. For the last 20 years, I've read through the Old Testament 1 1/3 times a year and the New Testament 4 times a year. And that's for the last 20-something years that I've done that. Now, it doesn't take very long. The reason I got into that, by the way, I read that if you read your Bible at an out loud speed, which is the slowest any of us read, that if you read your Bible 12 minutes a day, you could read through it in a year. You could read the Bible one time a year, just at 12 minutes a day. And I said, that's not right. I just knew I was reading more than that, and I knew I wasn't reading my Bible through every year. And it's not that I'm hard-headed, but I did go get me a stopwatch. I'm serious. My wife will tell you. Got me a stopwatch, put it on my desk. I did not read out loud. And so I knew I was reading a little faster, not reading out loud. But let me tell you what I found out. If you read 3 chapters a day in the New Testament, you can read through the New Testament over 4 times a year. Now, that 3 chapters is not much, is it? Especially when some of them are very short chapters. If you read 5 chapters in the Old Testament every day, you can read through the Old Testament twice a year. If you read 3 chapters, you can read through the Old Testament 1 1/3 time. It doesn't take a lot to read, and as I continue to read it, I think, why didn't I see that? Man, that's brand new. Man, that's great. But because God's got a way of giving you stuff when you need it. And you don't get it just by being smart, a formal education won't help you with this book. Greek and Hebrew won't help you with this book. In fact, if you look at them, the Greeks and the Hebrews both are lost as a nation. So it's not helping them. God gives us some things. And so tonight we're going to look at some things about sins and sin and try to separate that just a little bit, and then this thing of forgiveness. For most of us are very familiar with Matthew, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, or the so-called Lord's Prayer. The real Lord's Prayer is in John 17. But in Matthew 6, dealing with the Sermon on the Mount, let's look at that. And by the way, would you like to have a Bible to look at it? We got some hands up. We got people with Bibles. If you'd like to have a Bible, we want you to have one. I noticed some of you bring your Bibles, and I appreciate that. I really do. Thank you for doing that. Now, if you do not have a Bible, you keep this Bible as a gift from the rec room. We want you to have it from us. If you are just using it tonight, if you would, when you leave, don't leave it in your seat. Put it on the table at the back of the room, if you would, and then they'll all be together, and we can bundle them up. Thank you for doing that. Matthew chapter 6. Let's pray as we turn there to verse 9. Our Father, give us wisdom tonight. Give us understanding. Father, help us to believe your word. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9 says this. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, we're going to continue reading because Jesus adds something to this after he gives the model prayer to his disciples. He said, if you forgive men their trespasses, verse 14, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And at the time he said it, that was the rule. Now, the reason I say at the time, at this point in time, Jesus Christ has not gone to the cross to shed his blood for the sins of the world. At this point in time, he is talking about a kingdom on earth. And he's talking about men forgiving men. He's not talking about God until he says, if you don't forgive men, then God won't forgive you. Now, nobody gets to heaven that way today, and most of you know that. Anybody that's ever heard very many messages, you can forgive everybody in here. And we'll see in a little bit that that has not one thing. We're talking about sins here. We're not talking about sin. We're talking about dealing with one man, dealing with another man. And also, in Matthew 18, if you'll turn with me there, Matthew 18, we have God talking about an unforgiving servant. One servant forgave another one, and then that servant had somebody that owed him stuff, and he just clammed down on them. And in fact, he had him thrown in prison. We can't do that. Somebody owes you something. We don't have a debtor's prison. You can't do that, but in their economy, they did. But we find that the very last verse Jesus said in Matthew 18:35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Now, keeping that in mind, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is the first book written to Gentiles, or Ephesians, the first book written to Gentiles. At the end of Acts, after the Holy Spirit had been sent, at the first of Acts, Jesus Christ sent the Holy Spirit. We'll find out one of the reasons why, because we're going to go back to those verses. But at the end of Acts, the Bible said salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. Everybody in here tonight's a Gentile. We're Gentile. We're not Jews. And he said, the salvation of God, not the gospel. They'd already had the gospel, but salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. They will hear it. The first next book written after that period of time, and Paul is in prison when he makes such statement. He is a prisoner of the Roman government. He writes Ephesians in prison, and notice what he says in chapter 4, the very last verse. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, notice the words, hath forgiven you. Nothing here about having to forgive anybody to get forgiven. Here, we forgive because we've been forgiven. In 1974, I went through one of the hardest times of my life. They approached me with a sheet of paper. It said, the United States of America versus Leland Maples. And that didn't sit well with anybody I knew. I knew I'd made some enemies, but the whole United States. They had 10 counts down there that they thought I ought to come and be their guest for a while. And we went to trial in the federal court in Houston, Texas. After that trial, and we ended up in hung jury, after 10 days of trial, we start back for the second trial, and they dropped the case on the courthouse steps. Say they didn't have enough evidence. And so I'm free and clear and broke. Federal attorney is extremely high. In fact, Craig and I got a mutual friend. My attorney in it was a man by the name of Dick DeGuerin, who Craig used after that. But I was very bitter. There were people that got on the witness stand I'd never seen, and they'd never seen me. In fact, they even got my name wrong. They called me my middle name. I'd never gone by it in my life. Most people didn't know what it was. And I was very angry, bitter. I was mad at the federal DA. I was mad at people that lied on the stand. I laid awake at night trying to get even. Dawned on me one day that I was the only one losing sleep. I ran across this verse that I've just read to you. Be ye kind one to another, forgiving one another, even as God. And I sat that day, and I've got the Bible in my office, and the fly leaf of that Bible, I wrote down this day, and I put the date, 1974, nobody owes me anything. I absolve all debt. Nobody owes me love. Nobody owes me money. Nobody owes me respect. Nobody loves them, owes me anything. And let me tell you, it was the greatest ease, relief of burden I've ever had. Because, see, nobody ever treated me like I treated Jesus. Nobody's ever lied on me and mistreated me like I mistreated Jesus Christ. And he said is that I can forgive because God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven me. So that covered that situation. Now, all of that could have happened, and that still wouldn't have taken me to heaven. See, that is just dealing with the people. But he deals also with sins toward God. And turn with me now to 1 John 1:9. Many of you are very familiar with this verse. Go all the way to the book of Revelation. That's next to the last book in the Bible. Last book in the Bible is Concordance. Go to Revelation and then come back to the left, and you'll see 1 John real quick. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 said that if we shall confess with our sins the Lord Jesus Christ, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That can be sins of admission. We are to confess them. That doesn't mean deny them. That means to confess, I am a sinner. Lord, I've sinned against you. I've left out things I ought to do. There's things I should have done and I didn't. I think today that most of the dedicated Christians have more sins called omission than they do commission. And then some of them just got them a disposition. You're just cranking hard to get along with. Okay. Now, but there are sins of commission. We need to confess. We need to admit it. We need to say, I should not have done it. Now, you want your sins forgiven? This is the way. Once you're God's child, every day we confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive them. But we still hadn't gotten by to heaven. We just got them getting along with man and getting sins forgiven after we become a Christian. I want to talk about the sin thing. In these, we're talking sins. Plural. Sin. Turn with me to John now, back to the book of John, chapter 16. I mentioned a while ago that Jesus had sent the Holy Spirit throughout the Acts period. John 16, beginning with verse 7. Notice, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. He always did. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, now he's talking about the Holy Spirit. If we read the whole chapter, you'd get that picture. Just take my word for it at the present time. But if I depart, I'll send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of S-I-N. Not sins. Not crack house. Not staying home from church. Not cheating on income tax. All of the things we do or don't do that we know we ought to have done. The Bible said for him knoweth to do good and doeth it not to him in sin. We know those things. He said, but he's going to convince... When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin. Now, then in verse 9, he defines what he's talking about. He said of sin because they believe not in me. Here's the sin that will take a person to hell. And there's only one. Now, there's a multitude of sins out there that we can commit against one another. We can commit against God. But the only one that's deadly and fatal is this one sin. And what did he say it was? Of sin because they believe not in me. That's the only sin that will take a person to hell. Go back to John 3. Everybody knows John 3:16, or most everybody does. But I want to remind you of John 3:18. Notice John 3:16, and we're going to say it because it's always great to say this verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Notice, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the only begotten Son of God. A person doesn't go to hell for what he does, for not believing. He said that sin of unbelief, he's condemned already. God said when the Holy Spirit come, he was going to reprove the world of sin. The Holy Spirit gets a hold of our heart. The Holy Spirit begins to deal with us. We know we're sinners. What he begins to deal with is we need to get it right with God. I don't think anybody in here would be asinine enough to say, I'm perfect. I've never sinned. But what we do say, it's not that bad. See, y'all think I'm bad? Let me tell you about Craig. Y'all think I'm bad? Let me tell you about Doug. And if you really want bad, there's Jolene and Dolores sitting down here. That's why in some of our prayer meetings, some folks have requests for prayer and say, well, I want you to pray for brother so-and-so, but I can't go into it. And their mind goes from everything from embezzlement to child abuse. Everybody's mind's just a working, see. In fact, that's the way Baptists get by with prayer, with gossip. We call it prayer requests. See, sin requires not just forgiveness, but the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's why he said a while ago we could forgive, because God, for Christ's sake, there was a time and I did not realize, I knew Jesus died on the cross. I just thought they killed him. I did not know he died for me. And the Bible said, for by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, not sins, and death by sin, because death passed upon all men. Then he said, the wages of sin, not sins, is death, but the gift of God. Everybody in here knows the difference between wages and a gift. If we hand you, the guys handed you the Bible tonight, if they said, hey, use it in this session, but be sure and turn it back in, and it wasn't a gift, was it? It's a loan. Or if we say, look, if you'll come next week, we'll give you the Bible, then it's not a gift. You earned it. You showed up next week. But if they say, here, take the Bible, and there's no hooks in it, that's a gift. He said that the wages of sin, if we get what we're earning, we're going to go to hell. But God offered us a gift. Now, let me tell you something about a gift. You never have to take it. You can always turn it down. Bible said that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17, he said, God hath made him to be sin, not sins, sin for us, that we might be made in God's likeness, the sons of God. Christ took our place on the cross. You and I should have been there. We're guilty. We earned it big time. We got it. Let me tell you, I became a sinner the old-fashioned way. Practice, practice, practice. But God offered a gift. God made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You know the only reason I'm going to heaven is because Jesus Christ suffered hell for me. That's the only reason. I don't have one other thing to claim. I don't have a hope or a prayer outside of Jesus Christ. And when I stand before God and he says, why do you think I'll let you into my heaven? I'm going to have to point to his son. And by the way, if that doesn't work, I don't get to go. It's just that simple. It's that cut and dry. But I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He paid my debt. And you know what he said on the cross? You know the last thing he said? It's finished. It's done. He has completed it. He's paid that debt. It's not a feeling. It's not forgiving myself. I get sick and tired hearing about people saying, well, I'm trying to forgive myself. Well, try that with a judge. Said, Your Honor, I've just thought about this, and I've prayed about this, and I've laid awake night about this, and I tell you what, Your Honor, I forgive myself. That bailiff won't let you get two steps. That doesn't work. Let me tell you, the only time forgiveness works was somebody in authority does it. And that ain't me and you. God said, we're complete in him. When you trusted Jesus Christ, just like when you were born, you couldn't read, you couldn't write. Some of you hadn't improved on that much. But you couldn't do anything. But let me tell you one thing. You don't have any more life tonight than you did in day one. We have that life. We can grow. We can enjoy life more. We can have things. But with life comes through Jesus Christ. I want you to bow your heads. And I don't know what you've done and haven't done. And that's immaterial. But maybe you've danced all around this and never, never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. You've thought about your sins. You might have even have confessed your sins, whether to man or whether to God. But you've never asked Him to save you, to come in your heart and rule your life. Tonight, I'm going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask you to be real honest with Him. See, there's nothing here. Let me tell you this. Nobody's going to run you down. Nobody's trying to get your money. Nobody's trying to get any commitment out of you outside of you trusting Christ. The people that come here and work do it because they volunteer. Nobody gets paid for it. They just like to see you go to heaven. Now maybe, like in my own life, there was a time when you trusted Christ as your Savior. And then for some reason, and it makes no difference why, you drifted far away from home. You got away from the Lord. You need to get those sins. He's forgiven you. He's shed His blood for you. Your sin has been paid for. Now you need some fellowship. Some sins need to be gone. And you need to come and say and confess those things. I want you to stand to your feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We're going to have a brief word of prayer. Our Father, You know what each individual in here needs to do, or if they need to do anything. We turn this over to You. Glorify Your Son. In His name we pray. Head still bowed, eyes still closed. As Doug begins to sing, I want You to come. Come trust in Christ as your Savior. Come to get rid of your sins. But would You come? I wandered far away from home. Lord, now I'm coming home. Come on. Oh, church front. We thank you, Father, for those that ought to be. Father, give them another opportunity. We never know what a week holds. We don't even know what the next hour holds. But Father, help us that we'd look to you for all of it. And that whether we live or die, we do it with you. Now, Father, bless those that are here. Thank you for the volunteers. Thank you for those that came. Some be their last time here. Some it's their first time here. We just pray, Father, that you bless this service and the ones to come. In Christ's name, amen.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.